When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Jon Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
What's shaking, baby?
What's shaking, bacon, baby?
Hey.
Hey, hey. It's nighttime. You know what that means.
It's 8:21 p.m. on the evening of March 7th.
Yes. And here we are, two lovely lassies sitting down. Recording a podcast on the same night that the video interview with Oprah and Meghan Markle is coming out, eh?
This accent is getting worse and worse with every word you utter.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
The Duchess of Sussex.
Success.
What a wild interview this is turning out to be.
Yeah. I just want to point out there, we're not actually watching this interview. No. We're obviously recording this podcast.
No, but we were getting updates before.
But we were getting some good updates. And you know what, Meghan? Speak your truth, girl.
Yeah, she's having a girl. That's exciting.
Yeah, a girl, a princess, a baby.
A duchess.
Miniature duchess.
Is that what the child of a duke and a duchess is?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about the royal family.
I know nothing.
All I know is, like, the child's name is, like, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. And they say it with that ridiculous accent.
Mountbatten. Windsor.
Elizabeth.
Well, the person we're talking about today
is not a royal, but possibly could be.
She does have a special order.
She has a special something. To her.
I meant like literally, like she has a British title.
No fucking way.
Yes, bitch.
No way. What is it? Is she a knight?
Well, you're going to hear it when I do the intro.
Oh my God. Tease me. Why don't you, girl?
I'm just going to tease you.
Just tease
forever
me.
And ever.
And always. Amen.
This is a Catholic podcast. Ooh. Please pray before we break our bread.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena. We don't go to church. We just worship at the feet of Jon Favreau.
It's just Jon Favreau and sometimes Kate Winslet.
Which is who we're talking
for
about.
For the shit that she puts up with, like hypothermia and other stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. Tell us about Katie.
That's what I'm going to do. Kate Elizabeth Winslet, Commander of the Order of the British Empire.
Ooh, what the fuck is that?
It's basically like an order that's given out to like astounding artists.
Like civilians?
No. She's like a famous artist.
Oh,
like performers,
like,
etc.
Like John, like Elton John.
Yes,
like Billy Joel.
But he's a sir.
Oh,
Billy Joel. I don't. What does Billy Joel have?
I don't know. He's Jewish.
Was he knighted?
I don't know. Like, was he knighted?
I have no idea. Anyway, Kate Winslet is obviously an English actress.
England.
And also an activist. After acting as a child and having small commercial and television roles, she got her big break at the age of 18 in Peter Jackson's Heavenly Creatures in 1994, going on to star in Sense and Sensibility the next year, which garnered her first SAG and BAFTA award wins and her first Academy Award nomination. She was 20 years old. What? The fuck?
She's just talented.
It's very upsetting.
She's just talented.
Daddy Kate quickly shot to stardom and since then has been Hollywood royalty and one of the best actresses of her generation, despite rarely participating in commerce-driven films and pretty much hating all of the bullshit about Hollywood.
Yes, bitch, we love that about you.
Honestly. She has 12 SAG nominations with 3 wins, 2 Emmy nominations with 1 win. Shout out Mildred Pierce. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it because it's like one of the best things she's ever done. 1 Grammy Award win, 11 Golden Globe nominations with 4 wins, 8 BAFTA noms with 3 wins, and 7 Oscar nominations with 1 win.
Mother.
She's an absolute force, despite her Wikipedia page insisting on discussing her weight constantly. But we love a queen who refuses to conform to Hollywood standards. Let's hear it for Kate Winslet, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we love you, Kate.
Let's talk about the first fucking movie. Y'all know what it is. Don't play me like that. Like, tell me, like, y'all know. You know what I mean?
Do we know?
They know.
Do they?
They know.
They know.
I'm just going to tell you one thing.
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, buddy. You know what we need? We need Kate and we need Leo. That was a Love Actually.
Yeah, that reference. Was a Love Actually reference.
Our first movie, baby, is Titanic. It came out in 1997, written and directed by James Cameron, aka Jim Cameron, aka Midge Cameron. We'll get more into that later. 84 years after the sinking of the Titanic, 100-year-old Rose joins a team of treasure hunters trying to dig up the wreckage. On the ship, Rose reflects on when she was a young girl, played by Kate Winslet, aboard the Titanic and her brief but passionate love affair with Jack Dawson, played by a very steamy Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hot, very hot.
Very smooth-skinned.
Oh, yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Before the ship met its fateful end.
Sad.
So watery. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, title song for Titanic. Best movie in the West.
Titanic by Mitch Cameron.
By Mitch Cameron, which, by the way, going back to that, I know I said we'd go back to that.
You said you'd go back.
So I read online, aka Wikipedia, that crew members called James Cameron's alter ego Midge, like M-I-J.
Are we just supposed to like be okay with the fact that he has an alter ego that needs to be referred to as something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. His casual alter ego. They called his casual alter ego Midge, which is just opposite of what his name is, which is Jim.
Yes.
M-I-J-J-M. You get the fucking gist. Y'all are smart.
We get it.
Y'all went to Northwestern. Y'all did the thing. And so in my mind, I'm like, how the fuck are you, like, how do you survive a James Cameron set? I feel like you don't.
Well, you obviously do.
How?
All of the people involved in the making of this film are still, well, not all of them, but not, they didn't die because of James Cameron.
No, but they got like poisoned and shit. Like, I mean,
Kate Winslet did get hypothermia.
Yeah, she got hypothermia. Someone put like PCP in their food.
The fuck?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
So in my deep trivia dive into like Titanic and all of its Titanicness, I read that one of the scandals that happened on set, of which there were many, because James Cameron is insane. Like, he shot shit backwards.
Yeah, I know.
So that he could fucking flip that shit and post. What a fucking crazy person.
He's insane.
He's insane. But someone, a disgruntled crew member, like someone who was like, fuck this guy, I'm going to get revenge, put PCP in the soup that was fed to everyone in the mess hall. Everyone got high.
Where and, like, did he vomited. Get PCP? I'm concerned on multiple levels.
But they never found the perp. They never found the guy who did it, or gal, or whoever. They never figured out who it was.
If it was you, listener, reach out to us anonymously. We'd love an interview.
We'd love to get an exclusive just with the guy who put PCP in the food.
It'll be almost as big as the Oprah Meghan Markle interview.
I know.
But just below. In exclusivity.
Our ratings would go through the roof.
Through the roof, baby.
But yeah, James Cameron is insane. And just the sheer fact that Kate Winslet made it out alive and made it out with that performance is absolutely just is a true testament to like her abilities as an actor.
Yeah. I mean, I think I wrote this note down where I'm like, I wonder if they knew that this movie would be as huge as it did. And like, they absolutely did. They all knew it was going to be like a cultural
phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly.
Phenomena.
But there is just like, this whole movie has such an air of like grandeur.
Yeah,
like,
it's so big.
Like once you're past the modern day opening and when you see Titanic for the very first time in all of its glory, it's just like the vibe is incredible.
You know what? It's like aesthetic ship of dreams.
Yeah. Because Rose DeWitt Bucater gets out of that car in that fucking outfit.
And it's that like pan down, like the camera like pans up as her like face like pans up and her like hat, like, how do you describe this? Her hat like moves with the camera so that her face and the camera are like moving at the same time. And so the reveal is insane because her hat is enormous.
Yes. Like the looks being served, the fucking production value, the hope that everyone has, the opulence. It's such a vibe. Everyone is so excited to be there, which makes it even sadder.
When the ass comes up and bobs like a cork.
When that iceberg
little
head out
and goes, meh.
Time to die.
And the ship goes, and then it breaks in half.
Yeah.
Her ass just goes, whoop.
Yep.
Oh. And then it sinks.
Sad.
One of the biggest tragedies in American/the world. Yep. I don't know. Was Titanic an American ship? It was an English ship.
It was an English ship, I believe.
An Irish ship?
It was an Irish ship.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was built by the Irish.
Yeah, because...
strong ship.
What's his name? Victor Garber? Is that the actor's name?
Yeah.
He built the ship, and he's Irish.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I built you a good ship, Rose.
I built you a strong ship, Rose.
With me own two hands. He's like Mr. Krabs.
Money. He's not. He's like the nicest man in the whole movie.
Rose, me boy, I built you a good sheepy. I'll make you a manager. Good word. Mr. Tentacles, get off me ship. There aren't enough lifeboats.
Oh, Neptune. Okay. Back to Kate.
Yeah.
Back to Kate. So like, I think Kate Winslet was the perfect choice for this role.
Oh yeah.
Because like, obviously Rose is supposed to be stunningly beautiful. And Kate Winslet is also stunningly beautiful.
She's like very Romanesque features.
But, yeah, but she's not like, she was not the 90s epitome of beauty, which is what I appreciate so much. And like, ladies in the 90s were supposed to be teeny, teeny, tiny because they were doing lots of drugs and not sleeping.
Yeah, they were. Who were they supposed to be? I'm trying to think.
They were fucking Kate Moss.
Kate Moss is what they were supposed to look like. Kate Moss.
But instead, we have Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
And I much prefer that. And
me too.
I think that her appearance is obviously not the most important part of this role.
Not at all. Which, by the way, at any size, anyone is beautiful.
Correct. But like, I just love that she didn't look like what everyone else looked like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that her features were so striking in a very soft way.
Yeah.
That it just made her very round and like elegant. And like when she held herself like a woman.
Yeah.
Like she didn't hold herself like what I love is that Jack provides the like youthfulness that she needs to like sort of like limber up and shake herself off and like dust off her raggedy shit. Like she sort of becomes more youthful as the movie goes on, because in the beginning she's very rigid and while at the same time being very round and soft.
Yeah,
because she's so naturally beautiful and naturally youthful, but the way that she carries herself is like a freaking prisoner, which she has that whole like inner monologue. Well, the old Rose, not the old Rose, like the old Taylor, but like the like literally like the 90 million year
old, 100 year old Rose.
Yeah. Says in her like monologue in the beginning that she felt like she was going on a slave ship, which I'm like, girl, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, she had nothing to compare it to. So.
I was like, girl, I don't know.
For her world, I guess.
But like, she felt like a prisoner in her own body almost, mm-hmm. because her body didn't even belong to her. I feel like as a woman, you could really only be like three things.
Yeah.
A wife, a nun, or like a prostitute. And like, that was it.
Well, yeah. Being born into a female body during this time, like you were immediately compromised no matter how rich you were.
Yeah.
So like, being a strong woman meant compromising, which is interesting because if you wanted to be strong, being strong meant looking out for yourself.
Yeah.
And the best way to look out for yourself was to fucking go along with society and get married.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you could have protection.
Exactly.
It's really interesting because you normally nowadays, like a picture of strength is like a woman who's like, I don't need a man. I don't need anybody. I'm going to be by myself. And it's like back then that was just kind of like stupid.
That was weak. It was like, excuse yeah. me, you can't like find someone to XYZ.
Well, it was just silly.
Yeah.
Like it simply was not going to happen. I mean, obviously there are select cases where it was fine, but.
Yeah. I think one of the characters in Titanic even says like, you could only be three things. You yeah. can only be a wife. A prostitute or a nun. Like there are so many limited options, and I think Kate Winslet did such an incredible job of like containing all of that in her body. Mm-hmm. I think her body language in this film and the progression of her body language in this film is really fun to watch because you're watching someone who felt like a prisoner, whose mm-hmm. body is incredibly tense, who when she carries herself around her fiancé I am your fiance.
A very hot Billy Zane.
Yeah. And her mother and like just so much imagery of her mm-hmm. literally like leaning against the bedpost and like being tied up by her like by her,
her corset.
In her corset by her mother and sort of like all her like really tight fitting clothes and really like getting to that point where she just feels so constrained. She has no choice but to either succumb and like essentially like off herself because she's yeah. in the beginning of the movie she's like I'm gonna fucking kill myself and jump off this ship
yeah
or she has the option of like being free with someone who is basically the epitome of who she wants to be someone mm-hmm. who's just like who is tied to no one mm-hmm. who lives day to day who makes each day count. That's like a really big thing in the film. So I just think that Kate Winslet specifically does an incredible job using physicality to express a lot of that really big emotion.
Yeah.
And she just fucking nails it throughout the entire 3-hour long film.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, this movie is very, very long. Mm-hmm. However, a lot happens in a very short period of time.
Yes.
So, like, even though it's over 3 hours, she's still experiencing a lot of emotional changes, yes. like one after the other. And she does a really good job of keeping up with them. And like back to your point of her and her feelings about being a woman, like that's why it's so great when she meets Leonardo DiCaprio and you see such a quick transition of her kind of like him showing her how being a woman is actually like beneficial. And he helps her kind of like feel empowered. And I guess that's kind of annoying, but like, For the time period,
I think it worked because he was able to show her through his art, like through his drawings, what other women in the world were living yeah. like. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is he has this monologue like a third of the way through the film. I would say a fourth. I don't know. But it's essentially when she's like, I can't be with you, Jack, or like, yeah. I can't see you anymore because like, you're bad for me in the sense of like, you are all the things that I want and everything I want is the opposite of what my mother and my fiance want. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a no for me, dog. So he has this monologue where he's like, you know, that fire that you have, Rose, like that fire, I'm really scared that fire is like going to go out. That's the yeah. best thing about you is like this, like youthful fire that you have, this like strength that you have that you don't even know that you have. And she's sitting there like, bitch, you right. Like if I marry this dog, then I'm gonna be wet. Like I'm not like that, but like I'm gonna
in like a bad way.
Like I'm gonna be damp. I'm gonna be a raggedy damp piece of wood.
A wet mop.
I'm gonna be a mop.
You're a wet mop.
And not like a little fire. So yeah.
I mean, that's why I specifically think of the scene where they're dancing in the what's it called? Is it the steerage?
It's like,
is that where the
like brig? I don't know.
Poor people stay in steerage. I think
to be honest, we don't know anything about ships.
What is the starboard?
Starboard, the poop deck. They're in the poop deck.
I think they're in steerage.
They're in E deck.
I believe that's where they are.
I don't know,
but I love it because like there's all these fucking strong men dancing around and like being manly and fucking doing the arm wrestling, yeah, and like playing cards and smoking and shit. And she takes off her fucking shoes and goes on point to, yeah, like impress people. And I'm like, bitch, you for like 10 seconds there, you realize that like being a woman and like showing that you're not fragile is actually beneficial to you. Like, well done, Rose.
Yeah. Oh my God. Kate Winslet, her line delivery is so perfect. She goes, "You think you're big, tough men?" She just has so much swagger in her voice, and she's like, this bitch just, she, there's COVID all over that ship.
Like, yeah. Honestly, and the whole time I'm just like, where does everyone think she is?
I know. She's just like, she's just drinking everyone's fucking drinks, and yeah, she's like, she takes the fucking cigarette from the guy. She's like, "You think you're big, tough men? Well, watch this." Like, goes on point. And in a way, it shows a lot about who she is,
yeah, because
she's using the only tool that she has, which is like, obviously a lot of the girls at that time had to learn ballet or like, yeah, horseback riding or some bullshit to like in like etiquette class or, yeah, whatever the fuck. So like she has very limited resources in, yeah, terms of like skills, and I'm making quotations exactly with my hands. So it's like, you know what, I'm gonna pull out this wild card, I'm gonna go on point. And like half the people there like don't know what the fuck she's doing, yeah, or like
you,
why?
Look stupid,
you look stupid. But it's like it makes her feel good, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, like it's that one of those moments where she recognizes that one of the bullshit parts about being a woman has actually come back around to be kind of like a weird superpower,
yeah,
for a,
and it makes her feel really confident, and that's really all that matters. And what's funny for the viewers, it shows a really big class difference,
yes,
between like them literally stomping around and then her being like, watch this, and like going up on her tippy toes,
rises on point,
yeah. And it's just, it's funny, and it's also just, it's so nice to see a woman being able to like own her power and like use the resources that, mm-hmm, she does have to her advantage, and, yeah, to show herself that she can do it, and that like she can dance. Like when fucking Leo's like, "I don't know the steps, just go with it," she's like, "Bahaha,
okay
Oh my God, this bitch, the little girl is like me, yeah, the little girl, he was like, "You're still my best girl, Coral."
Coral. I think that's Cora.
I'm pretty sure that's her name.
Coral.
Me girl,
Cora.
You're still my best girl, Coral.
Oh my God.
So Titanic is just SpongeBob.
Can we get a crossover, please?
Yeah.
Obviously the movie ends very tragically, but I mean, like, the tragedy begins exactly halfway through the film, which is fucking, well, not actually. No, it's like an hour into the movie, something like that. Because doesn't it take like, I don't know how long. It's like halfway. Let's pretend it's halfway.
You know what, guys? We're going to be honest. It's a 3-hour long movie. It's really fucking hard to remember.
So
like,
the sad shit starts happening, yeah, and it's fucking crazy. And like, I think the part that I love about the ending, despite the fact that Jack dies, because that's just sad. It's just fucking,
it's just stupid is what
it is. Rips your fucking heart out. I mean, I was telling Monica this, like, I had watched this movie about a month ago with my mom because my mom really wanted to watch it, and it made
everyone's
me
mom
incredibly
wants to watch
sad.
It. Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I have to watch it again.
Yeah.
And it made me very sad again because something about, call me crazy, but mass death really gets to me.
Call me crazy, but that makes me sad.
But like when Jack dies, you just realize, and like, oh God, when she takes his name, when she gets rescued, that just fucking sent me. But it just, girl, makes you realize that like he wasn't just meaningful to her because they fell in love. And I would say that with a grain of salt because like they fell in love over what, like 24 hours?
Yeah, to be honest.
Less
like
than
a week? I don't know.
But it's because he made her feel empowered, but like without like pushing her too hard. He just kind of like sat back and let her
exist.
Yeah. And that's what made her feel empowered. Yeah.
And I think the chemistry, the sheer chemistry between Kate and Leo, was just impeccable and helped drive the story forward in just their like sheer fire.
Yeah.
And like, it was funny because the scene that everyone like always talks about, that scene where she is lying naked, naked on the chaise. And he's like,
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls.
She really, what I love about that scene is that was one of the first scenes that were shot because James Cameron is a fucking maniac and like the sets weren't done and they were already like many days into shooting and the sets were not done. And so it was one of the first scenes that was filmed. And I liked that there was so much raw energy between Kate and Leo, and the fact that they were so uncomfortable around each other kind of like lent to the story a little bit. Like, I was really into it. They weren't comfortable with each other at all. Like, you could see it on screen. They were both like kind of sweaty and a little bit like nervous. Well,
and then he fucked up his line and they left it in the movie.
Yes. And so it's just like, if, to me, it's moments like that that make me excited about films of like knowing sort of the reasons why certain things are kept in and the reasons why certain things are shot first and like how they end up actually working out for the movie as a whole. And Kate Winslet in general, to me, is just very brave for being who she was and being as young as she was and like owning her confidence and like her sexuality and like being like essentially a sexual goddess in this like crazy ass film.
Yeah, it's really interesting because she has this weird way of like seeming very pure, not in like a virginal way,
but just but like an innocent way,
just as like a person. Like, she has a very pure soul.
Wholesome.
She's wholesome, but she also is incredibly soulful and very passionate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, usually when people come across as too passionate, I don't enjoy them as as actors because I'm like, you're a little too much. But something about her, I'm just like, I'm drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And she's just so fucking
talented.
She just
has like a very special mix of like being confident enough to where you admire her and being relatable enough to where you're like, I would want to be your friend. Like, I believe you as your character, whoever you are, whoever she's playing, right? I know we're talking about specifically Titanic, but like with Kate Winslet, she just has this magic secret sauce of like, I'm confident enough to do this shit and to be like sexual in this way and be confident and like own my power. And I'm also relatable enough for you to feel like you are me in this story a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you can tell she takes the work so seriously, but that she doesn't take herself too seriously.
Totes. Like, goes.
She doesn't go home and go like, I'm Kate Winslet.
No.
Like,
I don't think she does that.
She just tries to be as normal of a person as possible, but like when she's doing her job, she's doing her job and she takes it very seriously.
Yeah,
and that comes across beautifully in her acting.
Yeah. Not to mention she was a good sport. Like, she had to
fucking drowned.
She
in
was
this movie.
Drowned and didn't she like fucking chip her elbow? Like,
I don't know.
That was a whole thing. Is she like chipped like the bone in her elbow, Jesus like filming Christ. The fucking movie, because this movie was insane. Yeah. We keep shading James Cameron, but I feel like we have every right to shade James Cameron right now. Like, this motherfucker, as incredible as he was with all of his like groundbreaking work and like visual effects and like getting Fox to pay for his shenanigans under the sea. It's like, I'm still
shenanigans under the sea.
I'm still out here like, James, Midge, please enough.
Midgey
boy. So yeah, Kate specifically lends this beautiful youthfulness and confidence and physicality to this role that I feel like was so perfect. And like, you can't think about Kate Winslet without thinking about Leonardo DiCaprio, because their bond is just so electric in this film.
And it's so, their friendship in real life is like one of the most beautiful things ever seen.
It's so pure. Go look up a compilation of like Kate and Leo at each other's like award shows.
Yeah,
and like,
or like talking about each other in interviews.
You will bawl your fucking eyes out.
Like, oh my God.
You will bawl.
I'm convinced that Kate has been married as many times as she has and Leo has never settled down, because they're just like, we can never find a bond as pure as that. But like, I don't like ship them as a couple.
No.
I'm just like, I love your relationship.
I just think that they have such unique souls and like they found each other. And Yeah. They're like, cool, we can exist on different planes of existence. Exactly. And that's chill.
No, that's very chill.
I also miss Kate Winslet as a redhead. That shit was a lewd.
Yes.
Yeah. She went blonde for like basically every other role since then. But like, girl, you good as a ginger.
You good as a gingy.
We love you. But yeah, that was Katie in Titanic.
Kate in Titanic.
Katie in Titanic.
So now we're moving to something a little bit more lighthearted.
A little bit closer to home.
I know in the bio I said that she's never done a commerce-driven film or rarely does one, but this one is one of the rare ones.
This one is definitely a commerce-driven film.
This one and the Divergent films.
Oh, no, wait. She also played a very small but significant role in Contagion.
Oh, that's not a... I would not say that's a commerce-driven film. That
I would
like a
say
film as
now
film.
It's a commerce-driven
now,
film.
Yeah, but that was like made, as, I would made say, to be a film.
I would say it's making a ton of money right now. I can't imagine why.
I wonder how much she's getting in residuals.
So much money, Jessica. So much money.
This one is The Holiday. Came out in 2006, written and directed by a girl,
you
Nancy.
Know?
Myers.
You know who she is, bitch. You know her.
And
you
guess
love
who did
her.
The score?
Oh.
Oh, bet you can't guess.
Bet you can't.
It's Hansi Zimmer. And his team of
Hansi
ghost
boys.
Composers.
Hansi and the Hansi boys.
Okay, so Iris Simpkins, played by Kate Winslet, a wedding columnist from England, and Amanda Woods, played by Cameron Diaz, a movie trailer maker from Los Angeles, decide to switch homes for the holiday season after difficult periods in their romantic lives. Iris meets Miles, played by Jack Black, and Arthur, played by Eli Wallach, on her trip, while Amanda meets Graham, played by Jude Law, Iris's brother. Both meetings inspire the women to reevaluate their lives, their self-worth, and their belief in love.
Do you believe in life after love?
Kate Winslet, after being in this movie, would say, yes, I do. Because her transformation is huge.
It's true. I want to get this out of the way just because I can't not talk about this. This is not how movies are scored. In the way that they portray like scoring movies in this film is actually hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's just a poor portrayal.
For those of you who haven't seen the film, Jack Black is a film composer. And he just, the movie opens with Kate Winslet's voice. And her voice sounds like a hug.
Mm-hmm, obviously.
And it's you see the movie that Jack Black is doing the music for.
And you see the notes popping up on the screen as he's writing them, which just like doesn't.
Yeah, he's just writing it while he watches the movie.
And he's just like, okay. And so A, that's not how that works. B, that's not how editing trailers is. That's just, she doesn't have like a team of people who she says, make it more red. That's just not how it happens.
Well, she owns the company.
Yeah, but she would be her own company.
She could own the company and have staff.
I guess she could have staff.
And she could direct them.
I guess she could direct them. But I don't know that they would take, make it a
Listen,
happy
I'm
red.
I'm just trying to give Nancy Myers some credit.
I am trying. You know what? Yeah. You know what? I'll give her
but,
that.
But her biggest point of credit is that thank God she cast Jack Black in this film.
Oh my God. She took a fat ass chance on Jack
oh,
Black
yeah.
and it paid off.
Boy oh boy did he deliver.
You know how much we love Jack Black.
Never once did I think I wanted to date Jack Black until I saw The Holiday.
Bernie Tito.
Never once did I think I wanted to date Bernie Tito.
Never once did I think I wanted to bow on Bernie Tito, but here we are.
Here we are
in
The Holiday.
But yeah, this movie is the shiznit. I fucking love this movie. Fun fact.
We watched it together.
Yeah, Jessica and I actually watched this together. We had a lot of like sugary snacks. It was very like girls' night with my husband.
It was so good.
It was very good. I don't have a couch yet. Obviously, you guys know from the... No, you don't know from the last episode.
No, because we recorded in reverse.
What?
SOS. It's okay.
Should we edit that out?
It doesn't matter.
Is it sloppy? What I was going to say is in the episode that we previously recorded, which is not the episode that you previously just heard, but I don't have a couch because I just moved.
Yeah.
So we were sitting on the floor looking up at like our heroes, essentially, making all these fucking mistakes because of a lack of communication.
Correct.
Which is like the central line in the majority of like Nancy Myers films.
Yep.
It's like the main problem is like no one's saying anything.
If you just said what you wanted, guess what? You'd get what you wanted.
Guess what? No one would have to pay thousands of dollars to fly to London or Los Angeles all the time. It could just happen the way that it wants to. But yeah, specifically Kate Winslet in this film mm-hmm. is so fucking funny. Yes. Like, I think she delivers such an incredible comedic performance in this. Even though it's not necessarily a comedic film.
No.
It is. She gives such an incredible, like dumpy girl next door kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
And, like, her crying in this movie is... Mwah, chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Oh my God.
Well, the thing is because like when you first meet the character of Iris, you're like, uh-oh, this bitch is pathetic.
Pathetic.
But because it's Kate Winslet, you're like, you're not pathetic. You're just relatable.
Yes.
And like, there's nothing pathetic about your pain because we've all unfortunately been in the same position as you where someone is fucking like messing beating us around.
Yeah.
And the only thing that you've done wrong in quotes mm-hmm. is have an open heart.
Yeah.
Like that's Iris's big flaw is yes. that she just like loves to love yeah. too much.
Her big flaw is she believes in love being enough, which yeah. is not the point. Right? It's not enough most of the time.
Yeah.
And Kate has an incredible, like she has great comedic timing. Which
so good.
I've never experienced. I mean, obviously like this was not the first time that Jessica and I have ever watched The Holiday.
No, I've seen this movie.
I've seen this
probably
movie
50 times.
So many times, like since I was a wee.
Since I was a wee one.
And like watching it so many times over and over and over, you never lose the impact that it has.
Yeah.
Especially just regarding her comedic performance mm-hmm. and like the way that she times everything out to give you like the full impact of her shit. Like I'm yeah. so fucking into it.
Well, she also has to bounce off of Jack Black. And like, I never thought that Jack Black and Kate Winslet would have insane chemistry.
Fiery chemistry.
But they're so good together. Like it's freaky how good they are together.
It's kind of insane.
I feel like Jack Black probably felt like he really had to bring it because he was like acting opposite Kate Winslet.
Kate fucking
And I feel
Winslet.
Like Kate Winslet was like, I have to be funny because I'm acting opposite Jack Black.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think they brought out really fun juices in each other.
Yes, absolutely. But like, when Kate is not being funny and when she's just being in pain, which is like a fair amount of the movie. Are you okay?
Did you not hear what I just said?
No, what did you say?
I said they bring out really interesting juices in each other.
Oh yeah, I did. I didn't hear that.
Why
I laughed.
Did you stop me?
I'm sorry, I just laughed. Do you want to say it again?
That is so gross. What does that mean?
You say crazy shit all the time. I didn't know I needed to censor you.
Not when it reads like squeeze each other's juice.
I mean, on the Jack Black episode, I said that he gave a delicious performance and you said nothing, so...
I'm sorry. You can keep that in. It's okay. I just wanted to like acknowledge the fact that you didn't fucking stop me when I said that.
I mean, I feel like I'm beyond flinching when you say weird shit. I
know. Oh, Neptune.
Oh, Neptune.
Please go on. You're actually making a very good point.
So what I'm saying is, so when Kate is like not being her like funny, bubbly self with yeah. Jack Black,
she's in pain.
She's in a lot of pain and yeah. she's experiencing this heartbreak. And I feel like because it's a Nancy Meyers movie, if you haven't seen it, you're like going to scoff at these characters and feel like, oh, they're not going to be deep. Mm-hmm. But like the pain she's feeling
is real.
Is so real. And she also does such a good job. Like it's a very like guttural kind of heartbreak that I feel like we can all identify with yeah. where you're just like, you so badly wish things were different
and
you know that you kind of had a part to play in it, mm-hmm. but like you're also not at fault and you just don't know what the fuck to do because you can't like, the only way you can get out of it is if the other person like apologizes and they're not going to.
Yeah.
And it's fucking sad.
It's really fucking sad. And I think Kate specifically chooses when she cries very, very calculatively, mm-hmm. because sometimes you just see her face fall, and other times you see her like you see her go into this like comedic like yeah. But like most of the time it's just like really quiet and she's just feeling very awful. Like for example, in that scene when she's like watching him mm-hmm. get like engaged to someone else. Oh my
God, her face.
Her face is perfect. And I don't mean that in like she looks incredible. I mean like
the way it falls.
The falling, like her, first it's her eyes, then it's mm-hmm. her like cheeks kind of fall, and then her mouth is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because we've all been in that situation where we are absolutely stunned and immediately heartbroken by something that is unfolding directly in front of us in that moment.
Yeah, where you know immediately, like, my whole life has been changed.
Yes.
And this doesn't even involve me.
Exactly. And making it feel so personal, like yeah. the setup, which obviously was on Nancy Myers' part, like the setup of like, you know, like, we're gonna, you know, you're gonna be the writer of this new piece, this new yeah. column, this new beat, whatever the fuck it is. A wedding
that nobody knows about.
And she's like, ooh, yeah. And then it's fucking him. It's this arsehole.
It's Jasper Bloom.
And it's just like, which terrible name, by the way.
I think it's a brilliant name.
Dickhead.
Well done, Nancy.
And you see her entire body just mm-hmm. change its like fucking molecular structure.
Yeah, she just like collapses.
Because she's just so good. Her, yeah. Like, I think that a lot of what has made me realize, like a lot of what I have realized that I love about Kate Winslet in watching these films mm-hmm. is her physicality.
Yes, she's an incredible physical actor.
She,
like,
yeah.
She says so much without saying anything, which I think is what keeps people coming back and like wondering. Yes. Because she keeps her cards hidden.
Yeah, and she has such expressive facial mm-hmm. features, if that makes, like her nose is expressive.
That bitch's nose.
Like, does that make sense? Like, her nose acts. Her nose went to Yale School of Drama. Her mouth went to Juilliard.
The rest of her went to RADA.
It's just like, it makes me really excited to see more of Kate Winslet, like yeah. in the future, like as she becomes a more mature
right, which
actor.
Is crazy because she's 45 and we're still going like, I can't wait to see what she does.
I know.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
It's so good.
Like she's got that hold on you.
Like it is, it must have been a challenge to get a rom-com script and to find that kind of depth in it.
Yeah.
To an extent, I mean, like I'm not saying Nancy Myers isn't a good writer, you know, we love her, but like, these are not the movies that have all of the dimension.
No, dog. It's going to be no for me. There but are like, scenes where Cameron Diaz is like pretending that she's in a fucking trailer. Like, exactly. I don't know. The depth? Question mark. I don't know.
But like, I specifically think of the scene where it's after Miles has found out that Maggie, his girlfriend, has cheated on him.
Yeah.
And him and Kate are in the kitchen and he's like talking about how he always falls for the bad girl. And then Kate goes into her monologue. You know the monologue.
You know the one.
Because you and I were screaming at the television.
Yes.
When we watched it, where she's basically just laying it out for him and she's like, I fucking know how you feel. Like mm-hmm. you know that like they are the way that they are and you so badly wish that they're gonna change, but you make this same mistake again and again and it's like, it's not your fault, but like,
but it sort of is, but it
but
isn't.
It happens all the fucking time. Yeah. And you just want people to need you and to love you, and that is your biggest sin.
Yeah, you
and
want
it's
to
so
be
so fucking real.
Yeah, it's so real. And she delivers it with such truth and such yeah. pain.
But she's not like crying or anything.
No.
She's just like,
she's, that's what I'm saying. Is she calculatively uses yeah. tears and then doesn't use tears.
Yeah.
This bitch knows what she be doing. And then she just says like, let's make Christmas fettuccine.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Do people eat fettuccine on Christmas? Because she eats it and so does Cameron Diaz.
And so does like, Jack Black. Cause he's like, I can make you some fettuccine.
Well, I think he says it because she said it initially. Like, so he's like picking up what
but
she
how
proposed.
Does he know how to make fettuccine?
I also want to know, like, how does everyone in Nancy Myers' universe know how to make fettuccine, like, without a recipe?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know about that shit. But everyone knows how to make fettuccine.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's not a whole lot more to say about The Holiday.
No.
It's just fucking good.
There's not a whole lot more to say about The Holiday in regards to Kate Winslet. Everyone's hot in this movie. Cameron Diaz, hot. Jude Law, hot.
Even Eli Wallach is hot.
Hot. Everyone's hot in this movie. Jude Law specifically, he's a weeper in this film.
A major
he's weeper. He's a major weeper. He just cries all the time at he fucking sobs. Everything.
It's so cute.
He has like two daughters.
Yeah.
The movie tries to make you think that they're like two hoes that he has on the side. Yeah. He does not. Obviously, they're his daughters. Cameron Diaz is like super fucking all over the place with like who she is and like what she wants. She just broke up with this guy.
There's a Catherine Hahn and John Krasinski cameo,
which is like honestly one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, they're very funny.
It's like it is literally a minute long scene.
Yeah,
but it is so fucking funny.
I think John Krasinski has one line.
He does.
And
what is it?
It's gold.
What is it?
I don't know. I think it's just the reaction. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure I wrote it down.
Where he's like, they're talking about the statistic about the terrorists.
Yeah.
And he just goes, I'm sorry.
Wait. Oh, I did write down that I wanted to see an Instagram that was dedicated, that was called at Kate on Trains. Because like in every movie she's ever in, she's always like on a train.
Was she? She was not on a train in Titanic, nor was she on a train but she was in the other movie we're going to discuss.
I know. It's really just Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and this and the holiday. So it's just interchanging those two photos from those two scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did say that. And I also said that Nancy Meyer loves a blue collar gentleman.
Oh, she
loves,
does.
She loves her gardeners. She loves her carpenters.
Listen, the gardener for Cameron Diaz's house.
Yes.
He's the star of this movie.
He's like, no, bitch, don't say words. when her ex-boyfriend like comes up.
Edward Burns.
Fuck that Burns. Guy. Ed Burns. Yeah. He like comes up and he's like, baby.
I did not have sex with her.
Except maybe I did. And then obviously the gardener's like, you fucked up, bitch. You fucked up. Don't say that. Ugh, it's just so good. It's just a great movie. Kate Winslet is fucking fantastic in this movie. Her voice is like a fucking hug. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, and you get to see a woman like come into her own. I fucking love when she kicks him out of the house and she just turns back to the camera and screams.
She's just insane in that moment. She's thinking out loud. She's processing out loud.
And the music is so good in that moment.
Oh, Hansi.
It's just like, it's escalating.
It's like pacing. It's like going at the same pace as her brain, which is like really fucking fast.
Exactly.
So good.
So good. 10 out of 10.
11 out of 10, even though Rotten Tomatoes would say otherwise.
Okay, Monica, what is our third film?
Our third and final film is dun, 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 Little Children.
Little Children.
It came out in 2007, written by Todd Field and Tom Perrotta, directed by Todd Field, based on the novel by Tom Perrotta. Sarah, played by Kate Winslet, and Brad, played by Patrick Wilson, who I think is like somehow weirdly related to like, what's his face?
Owen Wilson?
No, not Wilson.
Patrick Starr.
No. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine an actor being related to an animated character.
No, Will Arnett.
Oh, they look similar.
He looks like his hot brother.
Patrick Wilson is his hotter older brother.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
They have the same face shape.
They have this, and they have the same mouth.
And hairline.
The same mouth.
Yeah, yeah,
they both smile the same. It's fucking weird.
I fucking see it.
We don't need two of them in Hollywood. Get rid of one.
Which one would you get rid of?
I would get rid of Patrick Wilson. I'm sorry. I love Will Arnett. I think he's hilarious. He's also in like my favorite show.
I would only get rid of Will Arnett because like he's not doing anything now that I care about, but I guess neither is Patrick
I'm sorry.
Wilson.
You don't care about the nut job? I'm just kidding.
He was a great host of the Lego competition, Lego Masters.
Honestly, okay. I don't know. I could take either. I could leave either. It's really not that big of a deal for me.
Let's just swap them out in each other's shows and movies and see if anyone notices.
Let's put Will Arnett in Insidious.
Yeah.
And let's put Patrick Wilson in The Nut Job.
Okay.
And let's see what happens.
I'm down.
Okay. So Sarah and Brad are two lovelorn spouses from separate marriages who meet and begin a love affair during a summer in suburban Massachusetts. The story of their tryst intertwines intertwines with the lives of a registered sex offender played by Jackie Earle Haley and a disgraced ex-police officer played by Noah Emmerich as they struggle to resist their vulnerabilities and temptations.
See.
My girl. Ooh. The Temptations, baby.
See. Okay, Monica, I need your opinions on this movie up front because so I'm the one who recommended this movie and made Monica watch it.
Yeah, I really only pitched my vote in for Titanic and the Holiday. To be honest, we were gonna watch Revolutionary Road.
We were gonna watch The Reader. Yeah, because she won her Oscar for it. But
yeah.
That shit's only $13. That shit's $13, and you can't find it anywhere else.
Expensive.
And so we said no.
No, thank you. And that's going to be a no from me, dog.
So then we decided to do The Holiday instead, which honestly, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Yeah, that was really great. I was really happy with our decision.
Yeah.
But I really, really liked this movie. Like, I very surprisingly liked it. I didn't know that I would.
Yeah.
Just because the premise to me, like, okay, we have to give like a slight, like, I guess, trigger warning at the beginning of this conversation, because this movie is very specifically dramatic. I don't know, like,
yeah,
does that make sense? It just feel like the topics in this movie are very specifically triggering for a group of people.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't want anyone who's listening to this to think that, like, we have any kind of specific opinions about the people in this, like the things that the people are doing in this movie, because it's kind of insane and intense.
Sure.
I really want to read the book. Yes. This is based on a book also called Little Children, also by Tom
Parada.
Bruschetta. But I will say that before you continue listening, the registered sex offender in this movie is a pedophile. They referred to him as a pedophile continuously throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And there are certain scenes that you see him act on his urges.
Not towards children at all.
And I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
Not towards children.
No, you just see him having like bad sexual behavior.
Yeah, just bad sexual behavior. Yeah. And it's sort of implied in the film.
Yeah.
The film is a beautiful film in terms of its like visual storytelling. I think it does an incredible job of like setting everything up and making everything look so like, who was the cinematographer on this fucking film?
I don't fucking know.
Bitch, they did a good job.
They did a great job.
It's beautiful. And like it's helped along by like the narrator who like chimes in.
It's
and, like,
very literary.
It sets the tone. Which is weird. Mood, and like, it's weird, but like, I really like it sometimes. Like, I think that the narrator is like a nice, like, it's like a nice professor sort of like telling you what's going on.
Yeah, I think leaning into it being a book originally opened the doors for like giving the audience more information rather than only relying on visual storytelling and dialogue, which like, that's not to say that you can't do that.
You definitely
can. But I think it was very fitting for this one to kind of set things up and just kind of like let the actors tell the rest.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to fill in exposition shit with like dialogue that doesn't matter. And
Yeah. I love this movie. I think that it was like, it's very kind of quirky in a way. Like sometimes it'll cut away. Like, I'm thinking, for example, the part of the film where they're talking about Brad, like Brad's taste in women.
Yes. And that scene is so good. Yeah.
And it's just so good. And it like cuts away to his wife, who's like really hot and
played
like
by Jennifer
tall.
Connelly.
Oh, a very young, hot Jennifer Connelly.
Uh-huh.
So piping. And she's like standing there like, ooh. And like, it's like, and she has like perfect hair and she's like in a Pantene commercial and like perfect breasts and like shows her in like a cute blue tank top. Mm-hmm. And like Kate Winslet's like boyish and short and like whatever.
Yeah.
And I love that the movie like leans into that kind of like whimsical kind of quirkiness.
Yes.
I think it like helps put you in this really insane world of suburbia where like everything is magnified.
Yeah, it kind of forces you to surrender to the storytelling and to the story itself, because there's a lot of different moving parts of this story, but like, they fit really weirdly well together.
Yeah. And it's like Love Actually, but like really, like the things that are happening are really terrible.
Dark.
Yeah. Dark as shit. So anyway, back to like my original thought, cause I know we went on like 5,000 different tangents is I didn't know if I would like this movie because the subject matter was so dark. and I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, I think that it gave us a beautiful like glimpse into the lives of like people in suburbia and like how they deal with like their daily shit.
Yeah.
And when I say beautiful, I don't mean to like paint like a romantic picture. I mean like the movie itself is gorgeous.
Done really well,
like it's just done really, really well.
It looks good.
It looks good and it's just beautiful in the sense of like it's done really well, to your point, Jessica. So it's like that's really what I think about this movie. I really like the narrator. I went back and forth on whether or not I did like the narrator because quite frankly, I don't think that every movie needs a narrator.
Neither do I.
Most movies, like you can just let the visual storytelling do its job and then you can let the actors do their job and then call it a day.
Yeah.
But I think for like, to our point in the beginning, like this movie is based on a book and a very like literary book at that. Mm-hmm. So it gives it a really lovely feel. And then leading into like the whimsy of it all with certain cutaways to like specific parts. Like for example, Brad's like taste in women, et cetera, et cetera. Like I think it works. It all works.
It just gives it that extra oomph. Like I think of the opening scene where they're sitting in the park and the narrator chimes in because you see Kate Winslet sitting on a park bench watching other moms across from her also sitting on a park bench as they all watch their kids. Mm-hmm. And like the narrator says something like Sarah watched the other moms like an anthropologist observing like another culture, something like that, which like you could have drawn yourself that she was observing these other people, but like adding that extra thing puts you way more into the mind of who Sarah is as a person.
Yeah. And I also love that it makes you more inclined to be on Sarah's team because she's a literary human being.
Yeah.
Like her whole thing is she had ambitions before she got married. She had a life, she had a personality. She was a person before she got married and like had a kid. And that's her whole thing is she feels trapped. She's in a house she hates. She's in a marriage she doesn't like. And she's not really there for her kid because she's so lost.
Yes.
And she used to be, like, she was going to pursue her, like, PhD in English literature and, like, didn't. And it feels very, this is why I want to read the book because I feel like it goes so much deeper into her, like, backstory and, like, why she made certain decisions. But as far as the movie goes, like, I love seeing how the narrator is like almost like an internal monologue for Kate and other characters, and I enjoy it. I like it. I don't think every movie needs a narrator, but I like it.
No, for this one it's really, really great. And I think Kate just really lends herself to this character. I mean, she plays a lot of characters that are somewhat they're not like the same character, but they have similar
flaws.
Yes, really. Yeah, and they really move through flaws. Like similar emotional like
beats.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love how Sarah is supposed to come off as kind of like shy and insecure and like ashamed of how she is as a mother and things like that, when in reality, like, it's far more nuanced than that. It's not that she's almost like, she's not fueled by shame or anything. She's fueled by just like not giving a fuck about being like the other moms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, from my understanding, mommy culture is very scary.
Yeah, for the record,
intimidating.
For the record, neither Jessica nor I have a child.
What?
Nor do we have a child,
Monica,
together.
You're my child.
I thought you were my child. You came over to my house to have dinner.
Oh,
I
you're
fed
right.
You.
So, I am your son.
Yes, you are my son. I can't. The only part of the movie that I can't really relate to is genuinely like the thought of being a mom and like figuring out that shit and like mommy culture. Cause you're right. To my understanding, mommy culture is like fucking cutthroat. Yeah. That shit is like American Idol season one. Like that shit's
everyone
crazy.
Is so judgmental.
Oh my God.
And so scary. But like, despite the fact that she is quiet, she is still incredibly secure, which I think is like her superpower. I'm not saying she's like self, like confident in her like appearance or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think she's secure in like her identity at least.
Yeah.
And is why she feels so lost, because she recognizes that the shit happening around her does not fit with the identity that she knows she has.
No. And she views herself as so different from the world around her because she feels like literally a fish out of water.
Yeah.
I think I fucking love movies like The Stepford Wives and movies like this that sort of give you a glimpse into suburbia, because like I never knew what that was like.
Yeah.
Like I didn't grow up in suburbia, mm-hmm. and I'm obviously not a member of suburbia, and I'm not a mom, and I'm not in, like, I'm not invested in like that culture, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. So it's like, to me, it's so fascinating to see, especially through Kate Winslet's lens, like how she as an actor sort of tackles being this like fish out of water character, trying to assimilate, but also really trying to hold herself together. Like the fact that her character has a room in the house that's all to herself. Mm-hmm. That's like, okay, well, I'm not going to change the rest of the decor in this house. I'm going to keep it all the same. I don't give a fuck. Like that was his, like it was his last wife's yeah. decor. It was his mom's decor. Who cares? But this one room is going to be full of the shit that I like and who I am. And so I think that there is there's a version of her that she's like holding on to, that she yes. loves and she like claims ownership over, that she refuses to let anyone else like take or like get a glimpse at or like do anything with. Yeah. Except for this guy, Brad.
Yeah, except for fucking Brad.
Except for Patrick Wilson's Brad.
Which is why in all of her interactions with him, she's incredibly genuine.
And like open.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that like you're not as, and this is what I appreciate as a viewer, you're not kind of put on either any side of what's happening.
Everyone's
you're just fucking
terrible.
Watching it happen. Everyone has flaws up the ass and like you just have to sit back and watch what happens. But she's so genuine with him. And I fucking love that it all kind of starts with like her big act of agency is buying that fucking red swimsuit.
Yeah. From like, first of all, the catalog.
She buys it from a catalog on the phone and it's like the tummy tamer or whatever.
Or tummy, like tummy tuck, yes, whatever the fuck it was called.
Swimsuit. And she's
and
like,
it's like red.
Yeah. She buys this red swimsuit to go to the public pool to like catch the eye of this man, of Brad,
which fitting name.
I love that is the act, like something so small and fucking suburban is what she does to like upend her life for
which is just so Stepford Wives. Like it's so like, of course that's yeah. what she's gonna
well,
do.
But then she goes from 0 to 100 because she's like, first step swimsuit, second step fucking in the laundry room.
Yeah. Which is just insanity. And I love, this is what I love about this movie, is it arrests you as an audience member.
Yeah.
Because you're like, at one moment, shit's normal. Uh-huh. And then the next moment, shit's fucking whack and weird. Like, for example, one moment, Patrick Wilson and Kate Winslet are just in the park pushing their kids on their swing.
Yeah.
The next moment, they're macking out. In that same scene.
Because both of them realize that they don't have to keep going along with what suburban life is supposed to be. They both go, oh shit, we can have a fucking affair. Mm-hmm. We can just start having sex with each other. Like, we don't have to do little rebellious things that are like cute and non-threatening. We yeah. can like do the whole enchilada.
It's just insane because the moment that I realized that like Kate Winslet was like leaning closer to Patrick Wilson to like kiss him,
mm-hmm.
moments after she met him,
yes,
I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, this bitch says suburban lifestyle. No, thank you.
No, thank you. And no, so,
thank you.
I think Kate Winslet is the perfect choice for playing a character like this because, again, going back to like what we said about her playing, Rose in mm-hmm. Titanic is she has very soft, very expressive features.
Yes.
And she is like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also like a fiery, confident human being.
Yes.
That can own herself like and take space and go like, this is me, like fuck the rest of you.
Yes.
While also being incredibly relatable. So I think like the reason why the audience is on her side, because really like we should be like, this bitch be cheating on her husband.
Yeah.
But her husband is also a piece of shit. And like, we know that it's escapism. Like yes. we know that all she wants is to feel like herself with someone else who makes her feel like herself.
Or just feel something different.
Yes.
Than the monotony.
Yeah. That's not like, oh, my husband is like addicted to online porn.
Exactly.
And my kid wants to spend time with me, but because I hate my life, I can't fully give myself to her, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's refreshing because like they have the whole like Madame Bovary bit, which they did like kind of smack you in over the head with. Like
they really did.
This is an analogy. But she does find something heroic about her own rebellion. Mm-hmm. And like, but she's also being used by Brad.
Yeah.
But like, even if she thinks she's in love, if she actually is in love, she knows that she's using him too.
Yeah.
Like they're both aware of what they're doing.
Well, she said it perfectly. It's the hunger, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the pursuit. It's about the feeling of wanting more. It's not actually like falling in love and like being with Brad. Like that's why them running away together doesn't work out in the end, is because it's not about that. It's not about them ending up together. That's not at all what this is about. It's about the single act of rebellion. It's about the hunger. It's about like wanting more of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's about wanting more of someone else. And it's about like owning the fact that you can take up this space and you can exist in this world with still some semblance of yourself. And that to her is power. Like that to her is feminism. That to her is like that, that makes a lot. That makes up like the pieces of who she is.
Exactly.
More so than like the titles of like wife, mom, person.
No,
like,
totally.
Yeah. So, and fucking Kate Winslet just like kills the shit out of this role.
She kills it. And that's why it's so fucking impactful when she has that breakdown at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
And like initially you're like, oh, she's sobbing because she, first of all, thought she lost her kid while there's a pedophile 10 feet away.
Yeah.
And also Patrick Wilson didn't show up to their meeting point because he fucking broke his back on a skateboard or some shit.
Whatever.
But she's sobbing because, and I don't know how she fucking does it, but she shows you in her face, like
in her inner nose,
in that nose that went to Yale, that she's breaking down because it's not because she lost all of these things. It's because she doesn't know what the fuck she's gonna do with her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, where do I go from here? I thought being with this man was an escape, but now I'm exactly where I was before. My husband probably didn't even know I had left the house.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. And she does such a good job.
It's just so fucking good. And I love the final shot of her and her daughter at the end when she's like cradling her and she has this like blank expression on her face. It's like, well, got to keep doing what I'm doing then. And I love how like it is both so consequential and also at the same time inconsequential.
Yeah.
Like her life is exactly the same, but she's changed like fundamentally at her core.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I now know what I'm capable of and I need to figure out, like you can tell at the end, she's just trying to figure out a way to like go on.
Yeah.
And be a good mom.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the realization of the end of it is she's like, I need to be the person for my daughter that I want to be. Period. End of discussion. Because in the movie, there's this big old theme of like, is that who you want to be for your daughter? And like, blah, blah, blah. Like all the moms and their fucking mommy culture are like, what kind of example are you setting for your daughter? And this other bitch with like her like Karen ass haircut. I keep forgetting her name, but she like joins the book club as like a
blonde
little sister.
One. Yeah.
And she's like, she's a slut. Like, is that
Madame Bovary's a slut?
And I'm just like, okay, like, I think a big part of it is also Kate Winslet, like, wanting to become the example that she would have wanted to see for her daughter.
Well, that's literally the only thing that can fulfill her for the rest of her life at this point.
Amen. Like, living vicariously through your children.
Hey, everyone has been set up for a lot of therapy.
Yeah, everyone needs like movie. Everyone needs some major
and like, we
therapy.
Haven't even touched, and we won't, but the fucking background story of all of this, of this fucking pedophile and the ex-cop.
This fucking B-plot with this ex-cop who like shot a kid and this pedophile who went to jail for 2 years and then comes back.
Yeah.
And then the ex-cop is like, has like a vendetta against this, obviously like a vendetta against this pedophile. And the pedophile has like this mom who's really old and she's like, get off my fucking lawn all the time to this guy. And it's just like, you see like the dynamic between the mom and this man who committed this like terrible act, and you're just like, what is happening to my morality right now?
You see real problems happening.
Yeah, you see real shit.
You see real shit happening, and then you pan over and fucking Patrick Wilson and Kate Winslet are fucking in an attic.
Yeah, and he's like, do you feel bad about this? And she's like, no. And he's like, I do.
And Kate Winslet's like biggest issue is just like, how hot is your wife? Tell me how hot she is.
They're like literally fucking, and she's like, can you like, how? I'm sorry. How hot is your wife?
Yeah.
Is she pretty? But like, how pretty? Like, what kind of pretty? And he's like, she's a knockout.
Yeah, which,
but like, beauty's overrated.
You can be told while a man is inside of you.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, beauty's overrated, which is like such a stupid thing
to say. That's a horrible thing to say to Kate Winslet with her fucking bright blue nail polish and her Birkenstocks.
This bitch.
Don't say that to her.
Don't say that to her.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
This movie's incredible. If you haven't seen it, you have to. It's wild.
It's very complicated. I think the best part of this movie are the performances, period. Yes. End of discussion.
Yeah.
I also think it's visually stunning. I think the music is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that obviously, as all movies, there are flaws. But
of course.
I think that specifically with this movie, Kate Winslet knocked it out of the fucking park.
Oh, she's so good.
You know what?
Good.
She's the knockout. It's her baby.
She also is pretty in this, like, despite looking a little homely. Like, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. And what is this, like, post-children or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had kids already, so.
She had kids. And you see her
boobies?
She
had little children.
Mm-hmm. They're all little children in this fucking movie.
Exactly.
They all be acting like kids.
Oh, well. That was Kate Winslet.
That was Kate Winslet.
Kate Elizabeth Winslet.
Kate Elizabeth Winslet the first. Of the order of the British
commander.
Whatever. I don't understand like British titles to be honest with you.
I don't get it either.
But I think Kate Winslet has something really special, and I can't wait to see what she does next. I just want to go to a fucking movie theater that has Kate Winslet as top billing again. That's all I want. That's really all I want.
Me too.
Want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd love that. Well, Monica, what have you dabbled in?
I have dabbled in furniture shopping.
Ooh!
I recently procured a handmade piece for my downstairs area.
Wow.
It's like a desk situation. I don't know. There's this whole...
It's a desk.
It's this like desk kind of... Yeah. Vibe. And it's really nice, and it's like handmade. It's got these like really pretty like iron like hairpin legs, and I'm a fan, man.
That's
I've been
cute.
All I've been trying to do is like fill my home. Know what I'm saying? That's really the vibe.
I get it.
What have you dabbled in?
I've been reading a lot of like beach read literature lately.
Oh yeah.
And just really just loving my life. I got a Kindle a while back, but I wasn't really using it. And I recently bought a couple like pure fun beach reads, and I am going through them, and it just brings me such joy.
Have you read Beach Read?
That's a book?
Yeah.
No.
It's really good.
Okay.
Big recommendation here.
Okay.
Give me
the elevator pitch for it.
I think the author is Emily Henry.
Okay.
But it's a really fucking good book. It's about two writers who are on vacation.
Okay.
At the beach.
Reading on the beach.
And they're both reading.
Uh-huh.
Beach read. And they're both trying to like come up with like their books. Because, you know, writers write.
Yeah.
Writers be writing. And one of them is a romance writer and the other one is like a crime writer.
Yes.
And so they switch. And they're like, I know. But then like, and they hate each other, but then like love. You know what I mean?
But then they love each other.
You don't know that actually. I'm trying to like not to spoil too much.
Okay.
But it's actually really good.
Okay. And I'm excited. I'll download it on the Kindle.
And it was it was actually like a really big book around summertime last year.
I didn't hear anything about
this. Well, you know what? You're not fucking plugged into the
literary scene. I mean, I haven't been reading beach reads until now, so.
Okay. You are
and
not
I don't
plugged,
go to the beach.
You are not plugged into the literary scene as much as I am being the author that I am.
The writer? The author?
The writer that I am. Just to be clear, not a writer. I read, but I don't even read like, I don't know, War and Peace and shit. I read like.
Beach read.
So that's that. We actually don't have any questions today, which leads me to tell you, fucking send in your questions.
Send in a question. Tell me about send when you in. Met a celebrity. It doesn't even have to be a movie, Daddy. Like, tell me about the time you ran into Miley Cyrus.
Miley, dude, I love Miley Cyrus.
I don't, but I'm not. We're not going to get into it.
I can't believe you said that.
I'm so sorry.
On the air.
On the air. Live.
Live.
Live from New York.
In front of a live studio audience.
And our studio audience is just Erin.
And the things in the office. But yeah, send us your questions. We're not going to ask again. That's a lie. We're going to ask many times.
DM us. The easiest thing to do is DM us or go to our website, JonFavreauIsMyDaddy.com.
We have a form that you can fill out.
Yeah. You can also email us, but that's more complicated because it's JonFavreauIsAllegedlyMyDaddy@gmail.com.
Yeah, you know what? We'll work on that. It's just not going to happen now. So figure it out. You guys are smart. Y'all went to Northwestern.
You smart.
You can do it. But anyway, as usual.
As always. Don't sue us,
Daddy Favreau. Goodbye, Jessica.
Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good evening.
And good night.